You're listening to Strong Women on KAXE, KBXE. I'm Heidi Holton with Laura Connolly. She joins us in the studio now. Morning, Laura.
Good morning, Heidi.
So Strong Women has been this series that we are just honored to do, and we get funding from the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund to have conversations with women about their experiences. And Laura, you've helped in terms of the focus groups that we have done over the last year, and we'll be doing some more of those to come. But recently, we had the chance to do an interview together with a family.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Yeah, so we had Delina White, Lavender Hunt, and Snowy White in the studio with us. What was the experience like for you to meet these women?
Well, I feel like I pretty much was in awe the whole time that they were here and talking. So three Anishinaabe women, all extremely well-spoken, very, very gifted, talented artists. And the things that they were talking about during our interview were huge things in terms of the work that they're doing as women, women-owned business, women's art. As you'll hear in the interview, a lot of points at which they talk about things in a way that are so much deeper and spiritual in nature than we typically do in mainstream pop culture around fashion, women's role in fashion.
So to give you a little background, so IamAnishinaabe.com, you can go to their website. This is something that Delina started. When we first talked to them, they were getting ready for a show they did at the Black Bear Casino. They are the ones that are creating these amazing works of art, this fashion that they are creating. But not only do they do that, they are now working to include men and two-spirit people, and the models that they have are from wherever they might be going. So they had had a model call about a month before, so it's involving local women as well as women that are working with them. So it's a little bit of a background on the family of Delina White, Lavender Hunt, and Snowy White. Snowy's 14, I think, and then it's her mom and her grandmother that were in here with us.
The first thing that we talked with them about is how there's a description on their website where Lavender talks about the influences in her life around her art and her work. One of the people was her grandma. And so we were curious to know, what was it about your grandma and your mom that influenced you?
Growing up, being around the events that my mother and my grandmother has always taken me to, ceremony, powwow, big drum round dance. At all of these events, one thing that has always stuck out to me is the beaded earrings. And I remember getting ready for school or getting ready to go to these events with my family and, you know, asking my mom, how do I look? And what do you think about this? And so she had some really good advice raising me to be a strong, beautiful woman, Anishinaabe Kwe. And so one of the things I remember her doing is going to her jewelry box and pulling out this big, beautiful pair of beaded earrings. I still have those ones, actually. And so she said, here, try these. I remember that moment when my mom put those earrings on me and how beautiful I felt and how connected to all the other beautiful Anishinaabe Kwe there. And so, you know, that was it for me. I was hooked. I couldn't get enough of these beautiful earrings. And then I wanted more. I wanted the necklaces and the jewelry. And skirts have always been a really important part of tradition. And I remember when I was in second grade, my grandmother was so determined to make this ribbon skirt for me. And it wasn't a ribbon skirt, it was a cotton skirt with all these different bands of different layers of cotton. I remember she was so determined and she was going to get this skirt done, and I had to have this skirt for ceremony. And I remember wearing it to school and being proud. You know, I was never ashamed. And I feel that's because of the support and the encouragement I received from my mother and my grandmother about being who I am.
So, Delina, you talked about the grant that you got, and you got to leave the job that you had at the time. So this is a business that you do with your daughters, or how does this work?
It turned into a business.
Okay.
We have all been making beadwork since the age of 6 years old. So my grandmother taught me how to make beadwork when I was 6 years old. And then when my daughters became around 6 years old is when I started teaching them how to do beadwork. So it has always been a spiritual thing for us. It's always been therapeutic. and it's always been a part of our lives. So in my prayers, I always pray that I'm really grateful for my eyes and, you know, for the functioning of my hands and all that, so it can keep me doing my beadwork. So we have always had jobs that were full-time, and then I had always wanted to do beadwork, and my mom had always done our sewing. So my mother had passed away, and then we were forced to do our own sewing. So it has just been recently, really, that we've learned how to sew. We started sewing our jingle dresses, and then we started making clothing because, you know, it was important to us to have clothing that said who we were culturally. So we are self-taught, and we just kind of figure things out. I think that might be like an inherent analytical mind that we've been blessed with.
So, Snowy, did you start when you were six, beading, like your mom and grandma?
No, I started when I was like around the age of 10 or 11, and I've just been beading ever since.
Give me an example of what you've been working on, maybe recently.
I just started working on a ring with my aunt Sage, and then I worked on a headband, rings, earrings.
She likes to do the beadwork. She can run a sewing machine, she can thread it, she understands the functioning of it, but she gets frustrated, and then I get frustrated, and then we're all frustrated, someone's crying, but so Snowy's had a lot of other teachers too that have to come in and kind of work with her. Of course, you know, that mother-daughter component, we have our little bouts here and there, but she does have a lot of teachers, as I have in my life as well. You know, I've always brought projects to mom, and I'm like, oh, I'm so frustrated, and the sleeve is inside out the wrong way, and, you know, and so mom's helped me on a few things, but there's been other teachers that I've had as well, and so I always acknowledge them too, that there's a lot of other mothers that I have too that have really, really helped influence my sewing and my technique.
So, Delina, one thing when Lavender was talking is she was talking when she told the story about the earrings and how that made her feel beautiful. And she feels beautiful. You can tell you're all beautiful. Thank you. But in part, that's because you kind of instilled this in her, right? Heidi and I have been working on this project, doing a lot of focus groups with women. And one thing that a lot of women talk about is self-doubt. Right? They don't feel like they're pretty. They don't feel like their bodies are how they should be. But then the ones that seem to have some sort of confidence about them always talk about having women in their lives who push them to see their beauty. So clearly I can hear that. How did you get that? Where did that come from in you to know to do that with your daughter?
Well, that reminds me of a story, and it's kind of a cultural thing at the way that Native people take a look at community and the family. And I had made Lavender a fancy shawl outfit. And I think she was a little bit older, because when she was smaller, I had made her a jingle dress. So now I had made her a fancy shawl outfit. And at the time, I didn't know how to use the sewing machine, so I just hand-stitched it. And when I was finished, I put it on her. She was about, well, she was in kindergarten. So I suppose she was about 6 years old. And she put her shawl on and she started spinning around the house. And she was so happy about it. And she said, oh, it's so pretty. She said, I'm going to be the prettiest one at the powwow. And I told her, well, my girl, you know, I didn't want her to be disappointed. So I said, maybe you're not going to be the prettiest one at the powwow. I said, but you'll be one of the prettiest ones at the powwow. So culturally, I think we're taught that we have to remain humble, and that you are not the only one. You are not the center of the earth. So when I was going to work, and there was this particular person that I was working with at the United Way of Minneapolis, she was bragging up her grandson, I think it was. Well, of course, grandchildren are perfect.
Big smile from Snowy.
So I can understand now that I'm a grandmother how she bragged up her grandson. But at the time, I was just kind of like being cognizant of the message that she was sending me, because she was like, oh, he's just the best at this and he's so wonderful. And I tell him he's the best. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really kind of arrogant of her. So it hasn't been that way in our house that you are the best, but you are one of the best.
You're listening to Strong Women on KEXE, KBXE. We're going to continue this conversation with Delina White, Lavender Hunt, and Snowy White. Let's talk a little bit about what Lavender said here and Delina. Delina ended kind of with talking about how she approached her daughter and talking with her about, you are not the best, but you are one of the best, and kind of that mindset. And she said to us, you know, I'm not sure if that's healthy, but that's the way we did it.
Yeah, what she was getting at, from my understanding, was this idea that that's great and you can be great, but you're still humble and you're still part of a community and part of a group of people. It's not just about your individual greatness. And so the foundation of the work that they do together is coming from that place, which is big.
We'll hear more of the conversation here as we continue on with Strong Women with Delina, Lavender, and Snowy.
One thing about all of you that is really fascinating to me is, so you all work together. So it's a woman-owned business, mm-hmm. woman-run operation. And so one of the things on your website that stood out to me too was you were on the cover of, I think it was Native Max, mm-hmm. is that the magazine?
That's correct.
And you all just looked so powerful and peaceful but confident. Is there something about working with each other and women that is special? It's a kind of a sacred space to have that time. When you are just doing stuff that you love with a group of women that you love, there's something about that that's kind of magical. Do you feel that? Or
definitely. I feel that with our entire crew and all of our models. And we have recently started making clothing for men and for two-spirit people, because it's very important that we include everybody in our community, that we recognize and we acknowledge all individuals in the community. And so I think that we have created that bond with all of our models because we're caring and we're loving and we want to ensure that the models are happy. And we're always saying that our clothing that we create and our jewelry is just like inanimate objects, and once they get on that person or our model, that all of a sudden it becomes alive. So we tell our models, you know, you bring this skirt to life. So we kind of have that philosophy or that kind of feeling. So when we work with our models, we try to make sure that they're comforted, that all of their needs are taken care of, that they feel safe, that they receive training so that they have the confidence to go on stage and to perform, really, because that's what we're doing for an audience. And I think everybody really understands their roles and their philosophies of I Am Anishinaabe and what we're trying to do with our clothing.
Snowy, how long have you been modeling for I Am Anishinaabe?
I've been modeling ever since we've started, like, making all the outfits.
Okay.
So 4 years.
What's it like? How does it feel? How do you kind of prep yourself mentally before you go out on a runway? What is that experience like?
It's really fun. Like, it takes your mind away from everything that's going on, and it just, like, it feels great getting to show off everything that your family has made. I just think it's, like, really awesome how, like, so many people are in the show and, like, they love to, like, show off all of the outfits.
Yeah, I really was struck by how your grandma was talking about how it's a skirt probably when it's on a hanger, but it's different when it's on you. Does it feel like that? Like there's something bigger going on?
Yeah. I just think that, like, wearing the skirt makes you feel so much more powerful. Like, the whole outfit just adds a lot more to like your personality.
That's Snowy White. She's 14 years old. We also heard her grandmother, Delina White, and her mom, Lavender Hunt. They were in on this conversation for Strong Women. What do you think, Laura?
So I feel like that segment has a lot of stuff in it. So, for example, when Delina is talking at first about the way in which that they work with the models and kind of the philosophical framework of the business, she's talking about these things that are kind of big in the world today in most businesses and organizations. Diversity, equity, and inclusion is how everybody's talking about it. And they're doing that. That is the foundation of the way in which they have organized their work. They don't say those words, but that's actually what she's referring to. And then when Snowy is talking about how the skirt makes her feel powerful, and this whole idea that the fashion, once it is put on the person coming to life, is a very, very different way to look at fashion than the way that we have a tendency to look at it in mainstream society.
Well, and Delina had said to us that, you know, we all make a choice every day what we're putting on, what clothing, what jewelry, and how that might make us feel. And I think for a lot of people, that's not tied to you, the culture you grew up in. That's not tied to your mother or your grandmother. It might be in small ways, but to hear a conversation like this, that something that can seem superficial, you know, I've always hated things that are marketed towards women, like a mug that says "Women love shopping," because it seems, you know, just ridiculous.
Right.
But it's really, I mean, if you think about it, it can be very fun to go shopping with your friends to find things that you feel good about. But we don't live in a culture where that is the same way that Delina's talking about this. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. So it kind of reminds me, my mom is a sewer, and I had her sew all of my prom dresses. She sewed my wedding dress. And I love that. I loved everything about it. I didn't have any friends who did that. It, you know, like it wasn't the cool thing to do. So when these three women are talking about the meaning and the value that the clothing brings to the people, and then Snowy, who is 14 years old, is saying this thing about how cool it feels to wear something that's made by her family, that's huge to have that understanding at that age.
We're going to hear a little more now. Laura, at the end, you asked them, which is not an easy question, you know, what do you think it means to be a strong woman? And I just thought it was great because Lavender and Delina sat there and you could tell they were thinking. And who spoke first?
Snowy.
I just think that a strong woman is a beautiful, independent, smart, like, woman who knows how to, like, care for themselves and, like, doesn't depend on anyone else.
I think that was really good.
Yeah.
That must be pretty amazing to hear your daughter say that.
Yeah.
At 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a single mom. I have four kids, so they see my struggle, you know, and they're right in there with my struggles too. So I think a strong woman is somebody that can really love themselves. We talk about relationships and we talk about loving other people. And I think one of the hardest things is being able to really, truly love yourself, you know. And one thing that my mom has always said to me is that you have to take care of yourself first. And that sounds selfish, but when you think about it, how am I supposed to take care of my four kids if I'm not taking care of myself first?
I think in terms of community, that we are just only one individual in a community. And I think that together we make ourselves whole, because there's not one person who has everything. I think we have to look at each other as having individual gifts and how those gifts can be brought out to bring fulfillment to a community. I don't even think I can think of one strong woman, because there's just so many that I admire, and it's the different aspects, or it's their individual gifts that each woman has that I feel makes them strong. So it's really a difficult question. And then I also wanted to say, too, that our language, our original language, is not based on male and female words. It's based on animate and inanimate. So when you're talking about anything in our language, you're going to refer to it as whether it is alive with the spirit or whether it does not have a spirit. So that's just our view on two-spiritism.
That everyone's allowed to identify with the way that they feel. And I just think there's so much discrimination against, you know, our two-spirit community, and that we have to get that love and respect back, because culturally, historically, they have always held a really high place in community. They were seen as very special, that the Creator made them very, very special. And so we need to empower them.
It's Lavender Hunt, she and her mom, Delina White, and of course, 14-year-old Snowy White, talking there about what it means to be a strong woman. I was particularly struck by this part of the conversation where they're talking about two-spirit people. In Anishinaabe, it's LGBTQ community. And again, I'm struck by how different their framework is.
Yes, me too. It's the same sort of, along the same lines, inclusivity. From the beginning, they're designing from a place that everybody matters, that everybody should be valued and seen for who they are and the way in which they show up in the world. And then they are using that thinking and that those beliefs to create this beautiful fashion that is art. And I think that some of the stuff that they were all kind of talking about there in that end part, which was huge, was when Lavender was talking about this idea of love yourself. Because that's something, Heidi, we've heard through all the focus groups that we've done with women, that probably the hardest thing for us to do is to love ourselves as we are. And so that's a big thing for her to be talking about that, and then for her daughter to be hearing that. Humility, the grace, the wisdom. It was a very powerful hour that we got to spend with them.
And also, you know, they were just honest with us that sometimes they drive each other crazy. They're working so hard. And I was also struck at some point where Lavender was talking about that her daughter, Snowy, has other teachers, not just her, because there's something about mother-daughter relationship. She can't be that one person. At times, Snowy may need somebody else to lead her forward, yeah, not her mother.
Yes.
And I think a lot of times we don't realize that that's a powerful thing, rather than just like, I can't take it anymore with my kid.
Right.
Strong Women on KEXE, KBXE. You'll continue to hear these conversations. Laura and I will also be announcing when we do our next focus groups that we hope you want to be a part of, where you get a chance to meet other women and talk about things that we don't always get to think about in our busy lives.
Thank you. It's great.
Somewhere in the heart of America, we can take back our lives. We don't all have to fall.